Blog Talk Radio. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce back on the air this Tuesday night in Florence, South Carolina. We're here to talk about issues concerning blackness. We ask that you call in, give us your views and opinions on where we are as black folk in this city, county, state, our country, where we are, and what do you think we need to do? Are we fine? Are we behind? Or do you think everything is okay with us? Do we need to work harder? How do we need to work harder? What do we need to do? And that's what we're here for. Hopefully that we can pull together a coalition of people to work together to increase the quality of life for black folk. Here I am, the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, sponsor of this show. My name is Ed Robinson, CEO and President of the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. And we're coming to you again from Florence, South Carolina. And our call-in number, if you would like to talk, is 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. Now, I was just told earlier that the Reverend Jesse Jackson will be here in Florence, South Carolina on tomorrow. That's Wednesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, August 26th at Monumental Baptist Church. The Reverend Jesse Jackson will be here in Florence tomorrow. I've got this information from our state representative, Mr. Terry Alexander, our state representative for the state of South Carolina, for the majority of Florence region. He's responsible, I think, for the Reverend Jesse Jackson come to Florence. And I think, based on the information that I've gotten, is that his speech will be on Medicaid expansion. Now, for those of you that do not know, this comes along with Obamacare, and you know, it's interesting to find out why these folk do not want to do the Medicaid expansion. Yeah, now, with Obamacare, in order for you to really benefit, you need to be in a certain income category. And if you're not in that income category, you know, most, that's why a lot of people complain about it, because they are not in that income category. And, you know, if you're not in that income category, it could save you money. But if in order to be eligible for Obamacare, you're going to have to make at least $11,500. And if you do not make that amount of money, you will not be able to get Obamacare. And that's where the Medicaid expansion comes in. Those folks who fall below that income line, they can't get it. But if they had Medicaid expansion, if the governor, it's all left up to the governor, I think it's giving her too much power. If she would accept the Medicaid expansion, you know, all of us, everybody, could get Obamacare. And based on this email I'm looking at here now, it says $12 billion is sitting in Washington that could come to South Carolina if governor gives the green light. This meeting is open to the public. Let me read it for you. Reverend Jesse L. Jackson will appear at Monumental Baptist Church, 607 Magnolia Street, Florence, South Carolina, on Wednesday, August 26, 2015, at 5 p.m. to discuss why Governor Nikki Haley is holding up expansion of Medicaid in South Carolina. $12 billion, with the B, $12 billion is sitting in Washington that could come to South Carolina if the governor gives the green light. This meeting is open to the public. Statewide meeting is planned for August 28, 2015 in Columbia at Rockland Baptist Conference Center on this issue. Elected officials, church representatives, community organizations, and other advocacy groups will be attending this conference. but you know, that's fine, Terry, and I agree, and you know, we need all the information we can get. We loved Reverend Jesse Jackson. I know I do. he's been a powerful resource for black folk in the future. In the past years, many people have derogative things to say about him, but hey, I love him. Regardless to what he's done, you know, unlike me, you know, I'm the crazy one. I go out there and try to do stuff and prove to people that I don't need money to do it. I can do it on my own. But the weight of the, it's a burden on me as well as my family. And I find that people do not appreciate what you do. I'm in the old veterans category now. And I was in a meeting the other day, and we were talking about people, potential candidates for city council. I am a member of the Florence City Council. I've been there for like 26 and a half years. I've served on the city council longer than anybody ever in the history. And I'm what you call a radical. And we're talking about getting folk to run, and the way our system is set up, it is extremely difficult for a black person to win an at-large seat. I'm not going to go into what is meant by at-large, but a lot of you do know, but just take my word for it, it's extremely, extremely difficult for a black to win an at-large seat. In order for a black to win an at-large seat here in Florence, South Carolina, for city council, you would have to get a substantial number of white votes. There's no other way around it. You have to get a substantial number of white votes. So, you know, it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but I don't think I let my feelings show. One of the young Democrats said, well, you know, we're talking about vetting people for this seat. In other words, we're trying to find people who are worthy of this seat, who has paid the dues, who has shown who they are, what they represent. And one of the young men said, well, you know, if we have to get white votes, we know that as long as we are tied to Ed Robinson, that's me, that the white folk are not going to support us. So we need to separate ourselves from him so that we can be able to get white votes, so that we can get more blacks on city council. And, but, you know, I think the young man was kind of young, and I don't think he understood or realized what he's saying. And if you have to change who you are to get certain votes, then you're not going to represent the people who you intend to represent. You're not going to, your mission is not going to be fulfilled to the extent that we would like, that what I would like for you to extend that mission. But by the same token, that young man said something that truly illustrates what the problem is. And the problem is, if a black man is really fighting hard for blackness, because, you know, the story on me at Robinson is I fight too hard. And the fact that we are so far behind, I just can't understand why they say I fight too hard, because all I ask for is fairness from my perspective. And whatever they say. But, you know, back in the day, we supported ministers. Ministers were the ones that pretty much led the fight for equality and justice for black folks. They were the ones who could afford to go out and stand and fight the system. Because we black folk, we were the ones that supported ministers. We were the ones that put them out front. We took care of them, their families. We paid their mortgage, gave them gas to go in their cars, food put on their tables. We took care of them. And they had nothing to fear from the man. But, you know, and people constantly tell me often, well, Ed, you need to start trying to train somebody to take your place, because you kind of getting up there, boy. I said, you're right. I said, but then the problem is, who is it? Why won't you? What do you do to support my effort? Nothing. Nothing. You don't stand with me when I'm out there fighting. You don't contribute to anything that I try to do financially. You do nothing but say, sick of me. And then when the wrath of the man comes down on me, you back away. And why should I impose this on some other young, ambitious political figure. If we were more aggressive at supporting and helping those that support our concerns and our efforts, then we would have more strong black leaders. You know, you look at all these presidential candidates, these guys get millions of dollars. Black folk don't contribute to political campaigns. They don't do it. Very minimal. But look at, and then that's why it's so easy for politicians to sell out. Because, here you are, a medical doctor, and you know that this politician is going to be over the medical team, and his opinions and views could possibly support you and your efforts for millions and millions of dollars. So, hey, for you to give me $10,000 is nothing. Because I could get millions in return. Well, it's still a gamble, but you have to look at the chances of your candidate winning. And, I'm reflective of what Donald Trump is saying right now. These candidates can easily be bought. And when these guys give these guys a bunch of money, they don't give them the money for nothing. They expect to be paid. And if I give you $1,000, then I want quadruple times 10 what I gave you back. And if you don't believe it, you need to look at the mayoral elections here in Florence. See how that has played out. We've got a Democratic mayor, but the overwhelming majority of the funds that he received were from Republicans. And look at where the money is going now for the downtown revitalization. It is, I talk about this all the time. It is just pathetic, if you want to call in, give me a call, 516-453-9921. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. With your host, Ed Robinson. That's a subject that we can go on and on. It would be nice if you would call in, anybody listening that want to give their opinions or views, please call in. As I've always said, that we are always nice and congenial to anybody that calls in. We'd like to, because the name of our show is Let's Talk Blackness, that means that we don't want white opinions. Please give us a call so we can know what you think and how you think about issues that affect black folk. Because issues that affect black folk certainly affect all folk. We are a nation of one, and we have to work together. And this continued income disparity thing that all candidates are talking about, mostly Democrats, is not sustainable. It's not going to work long term. So we need to fix this right here. And those of us who suffer most, those of us who feel the whip more often and most solid than any other ethnic group, are black folk. And all we're trying to do now is we're trying to lessen the burdens of those that suffer the most. We want to lessen the burden of those that suffer the most. Not that, we're trying to create a means a separate agenda. We want to catch up to the agenda that's already made up and prepared and moving forward. That agenda has left black folk behind. And we want to give them the boost that they need in order to catch up and be a part of the economic growth that this economic recovery that we're supposed to be experiencing. And on this Saturday, we're going to have a rally. I don't know if you want to call it a rally, but we're going to be on at the Roy Adams Breezeway. That's in the 100 block of West Evans Street, the 100 block of West Evans Street. And we're going to be talking about blackness, talking about issues, things that negatively affect us, what we need to do to fix it, how the city's money is being spent as relates to downtown revitalization, our kids and where they are from an educational point of view. These are the kind of things that we want to talk about and make sure that we put emphasis on correcting the ills that we are being faced with. These are the things that we want to talk about, fixing and correcting the ills that negatively affect black folk in the city of Florence, South Carolina. Again, that's at the 100 block of West Evans Street in Florence. The Roy Adams Breezeway, that's the name of the where we will be. Now, the Breezeway is just an opening. It's where a building was, and they tore the building down and made a kind of walkway from the main street of West Evans Street to the parking lot in the back. Now, you can park in the back. If you know where the museum is, you can park in the back of the museum, of the new museum that they put up. And then that can carry you to the Roy Adams Breezeway. It's in the 100 block of the West Evans Street, 100 block of West Evans Street, downtown Florence. Most people know the famous Florence Hotel that the city of Florence, gave the incentive money, $1 million+, to the developers. And we were doing so much for those guys. And now they're calling that the catalyst of the growth of downtown. It's right, two doors down from the hotel. I got to tell you, that they don't like it, the administration. I'm sure that the people at the hotel don't like it, that we, a bunch of black folk, are coming downtown in this elitist, I don't know, right now it's total disaster. Because construction's going on everywhere. And that construction is mostly comprised of taxpayers' dollars. We have an investment in what's going on downtown, but they don't want certain ones of us down there. But we're going to be down there on this Saturday, and we're going to start at 11 o'clock. We're asking everybody to come, and please bring your lawn chairs. It's going to be a very relaxed atmosphere. We're going to have hot dogs and sodas for you. We're going to have different people talking about issues, what we need to do. And we don't need to just talk. It needs to be something that we can come up with means of creating an atmosphere where we can begin to create solutions to the problem. Freedom ain't free, y'all. We just can't sit home and wish change. People don't give up power. We have to take it. We have to go through now, that things have gotten so far out of sync, until we are going to have to use a little bit more forward force. We're going to have to use this in our voting. We're going to have to use this with the only other options we have is the streets and our voices and our rights. And, you know, even though they are reluctant to allow us to exercise our rights, but we have to force the issue. We have to force the issue. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. This is the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce with your host, Ed Robinson. We are here every day from 8:30 to 9:30 to talk about blackness. We are here every day from 8:30 to 9:30 to talk about blackness. Again, I want to emphasize the sit-in that we're going to have this Saturday, August 29th, the sit-in that the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring this Saturday, August 29th at 11 o'clock a.m., and we will go until 2, no later than then, and we need your presence. We need your presence. Is at the 100 block of West 7th Street, the 100 block of West 7th Street here, right here in Florence, South Carolina, the 100 block of 7th Street, as right smack dab in the middle of the revitalization project that we're going on for downtown. Right in the middle of the downtown revitalization project, downtown Florence, the Roy Adams Breezeway. 516, our call-in number, if you want to call in and talk about issues that you are concerned about. I've, you know, given you my concerns and what we're all about. We are the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. We are struggling, trying to grow. We are sustaining, but we need to grow. And, you know, it's sad that we have to prove our worth to most black folk because they are skeptical. Well, they're not going to last. Well, I can't afford to be a part of them because my boss man don't like Ed Robinson. Well, there is black group to try to create this black separatist organization, you know, to go against white folk. And, you know, all of this stuff is just a bunch of garbage. What we are a lobbying group for the underclass. You know, there are those, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier, and he was stating that there is a income war, prejudice versus racial thing. But, you know, what's her name? The New Jim Crow? I'm asking, did you read that book? It explains the whole system. Now, you know, in the old Jim Crow philosophy that worked back then, still works now. When they use the Willie Lynch syndrome, you know, when slaves were free and we had black legislators and governors and senators and representatives. And these guys came up with the Ku Klux Klan in 1868. That's when the foundation of the Ku Klux Klan. They were talking, well, this is hold up, we cannot go now, because these guys have had a taste of freedom. And before we get them back into where we had them, they would die first. They would die first. So what we have to do is let them, that they are progressing, and relax. See, because, you know, once they feel comfortable, they will relax. And then we'll throw little stumbling blocks, little by little by little. And then eventually we will have them right back to where they were. Eventually we will have them right back to where they were. And I see that scenario working fine with us now. I see that scenario working tremendously well with black folk. Things are just happening, you know. I mean, our kids are falling behind in school. They're taken away, I mean, fighting for, I can't think of her name. The 90-something-year-old lady, Miss Taylor, I can't think of her name. But anyway, and she was on TV the other night saying that she's finding that she's fighting now for the same stuff she fought for 75 years ago. The right to vote. They're taking away the Civil Rights Act. You know, they want to take away our food stamps. You know, they're putting us in a position where, and it is extremely difficult for us to survive. And it's becoming harder and harder every day. It's becoming harder and harder every day. We're going to take a little break right now and give you a chance to digest some of the stuff that I was saying. I get your pencil and pen out. And 516-453-9921, if you'd like to call in. 516-453-9921. Thank you, and I'll be right back in a few minutes.
Break every chain. To break every chain.
Okay, we're back live. The Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce show. Okay, I don't know. I'm looking at this thing here that's saying that there's something wrong with the broadcast. I'm hoping you can hear me. And if you can, give me a call at 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. With your host, Ed Robinson, talking about issues that affect black folk today. We are lobbyists for the poor. We want to reach out and help bring up those who suffer the most. Bring them up so that they can be more competitive, so that they can be a part of the growing group of so that they can fit in with this economic growth, this great, you know, they're saying that the unemployment rate is just, you know, going down, but I don't see it in my neighborhood. I don't see any growth. I don't see any prosperity. You know, I am a city council person, and it's very, very, you know, I don't want to say aggravating, but then again, it is troubling that at one time I could, you know, I was experiencing maybe 4 or 5 complaints a week. Now it's 4 or 5 complaints a day. It usually takes most of my day dealing with complaints and problems that people have. And see, they're complaints and problems. Well, I don't have any food. I know this family who's been put out. We need money to get this family whose child got arrested. You know, this employer who mistreated their employee. You know, the city didn't pick up my trash. You know, all kinds of little things that didn't usually happen, used to happen before, but they are happening now. They are happening now in extraordinarily high fashion. And, you know, for those of us, you know, I'm from a district of the low income. Matter of fact, the district that I represent is probably one of the most, one of the lowest income districts in the city. And people are really having a hard time, harder time now than I've ever seen. And that is my cry, that is my plea, that is what I'm fighting for. But it seems as if, you know, there's another council member on there that has a district similar to mine. You know, I don't know who has the lowest income out of hers, but we are practically the same. But see, you know, I don't know, because, you know, I think she has an extra phone because she tells you quickly, I don't answer the phone after 5 o'clock. So don't call me after 5. You call after 5, I'll deal with you tomorrow, not tonight. But see, I'm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, you call me, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. If there's something that I can do, I'm going to do what I can to help you. I guess maybe that's why people call me, because I'm out there out front. But then the other side of the coin is, when I'm having things like the sitting that I'm having, you know, I need to show strength and power in order to get things done. And if that's the least you can do. Once every other month, I ask you to come and to stand with me. You don't have to do anything or say anything. Just show that you care, that you support the things that I'm trying to do for people. Come and show who you are. We deserve. You know, that's something that we don't need to forget. And we thank you guys for listening in. And we're going to go out the same way that we came in.
Talk about the ghetto, right? Yeah. y'all listen to the brother. Wait a minute!
I'm talking about the ghetto.